shall we turn to the Word of God and read together, please, from the Book of Exodus. Book of Exodus and chapter 2. Book of Exodus and chapter 2. Just look at the last verse of chapter 1. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Verse 10, and the child grew. Now I read other portions, the Lord helping us. Meanwhile, we trust what we have read will introduce to us what the Lord has laid upon our hearts for this meeting. Wherever there is light in any aspect of what we know of life, there is always the potential for growth. The first time that the word is used, and it is used by the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew records, the Savior said, "Consider the lilies, how they grow." So growth is potential in relation to life. And then it's good to notice that not only is the potential in life, but there is provision. That life is capable of growth. And we're thankful for that in the spiritual very much this afternoon. The life that God, through His grace, has imparted to us is not only potentially powerful to produce it, but there is every provision with it that growth, spiritual growth, may be realized. Indeed, it's the Savior that uses the word again, and this time in chapter 13, when he speaks of the mustard tree, how it is fully grown. And then, of course, as we know from experience, whether in the physical or in the spiritual, there can be problems in growth. Disease, deformity, whatever can hinder that growth. And we're aware of that in the spiritual. And our Bible is very clear that there were those in Corinth and they were not growing as they ought. We know the reason. We haven't time to stay with the difficulty. And then when we come to Hebrews, again, the apostle in that great epistle reminds them in chapter 5 again that they were, chapter 5, that they were dull of hearing. So there are things in the physical and more manifestly so in the spiritual that can hinder the growth, the development kind of God that is expected of us in our life. But I want this afternoon in a very simple and I trust in a very practical way to bring to you pictures of growth as expressed in the simple term I have read in verse 10. And I think it's beautiful to see how it occurs in our Bible. I have come to this first one because I feel it very, very practical, very basic. You know the circumstances under which this lovely observation is made. When we go back to the first chapter, we're all aware that if there was one thing that Pharaoh detested and did not in any way appreciate, and that was the birth of sons. Sonship, as far as he was concerned, was abhorred. It was something he hated. It was something he determined he would bring to a cessation. So he set in motion a scheme where he thought he could restrict the birth of Sam. And we are thankful this afternoon that even the devil who has a shame intent has been proved ineffectual in relation to our individual sonship at this moment of time. I'm sure that he did everything in your experience as he would have done in mine to hinder the birth of a son. And you know what he did Pharaoh. Thank God for those two wonderful, devoted midwives, that if sonship as far as Pharaoh was concerned, was abhorred, as far as these midwives was concerned, it was appreciated. For you remember that Pharaoh said, if it's a son, then see that it is killed. But you remember what these devoted midwives were capable of, and what they proved to be, and were honored of God in the passage, for it said that they would be given houses. That's not houses to live in. That's houses of genealogy. God would multiply them. God would add to them. God would reward them for their appreciation of sonship. And then it's lovely to see, beloved, that the moment came when this lovely couple, we haven't time to stay with them, you're familiar with their names, with their background, and it says, the woman conceived and bare a son. A son produced. You know, beloved, it's tremendous that this victory was achieved. In the circumstances, it's indicative of the sovereignty of God, which each of us in this meeting this afternoon, saved by divine grace, can appreciate, I trust, to the utmost. But, as you know, sonship was abhorred. Sonship was appreciated. But then, in the verse that closes the chapter, sonship was attacked. When Pharaoh discovered he had not the power to withstand or to hinder the birth of sons, he then decided he had the ability to bring to an end the growth of sons. That's the difficulty now. The growth. If he found he could not restrict their birth, he discovered he had means whereby he could impede the growth. Mind you, beloved, this afternoon, as you know, as you listen to my voice, secondly, there has been victory in our birth. God has triumphed. The sovereignty of God has been wondrously manifested. But then, what about our growth? This is the issue. The child grew. You notice the circumstances under which he grew. Had it not been for the spiritual discernment of the mother, that's what she's credited with, isn't it, in this chapter? When we come to Acts chapter 7, the credit is given to the father. When we come to Hebrews chapter 11, it's given to the parent. For God is good. He puts the mother in first place here, puts the father in Acts 7, and then them both together in Hebrews chapter 11. What did they recognize? My beloved, they recognized the value of sonship. They recognized that they had within the power now and within the custody something that was exceedingly precious. Not that they understood what God would do. Not that they had any concept of what lay ahead. but they recognized the potential. They saw the goodly child. They appreciated the value of sonship, beloved. And I trust this afternoon, as you sit in this lovely meeting, and we come to it, won't we, in the reading, how much the New Testament values sonship. How is it going? How are we growing? Well, notice, you know the story. How was sonship attacked? Said the Pharaoh, when there is a son born. You listening? Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river. Ye shall cast into the river. I tell you, friend, the devil is not interested in your growth. He is out to use every agency that he can control and that he can use. What to do? To bring your spiritual growth to a total stop. Are we an exercise? Would these people submit? You understand how this point is raised so beautifully in the Hebrew epistle. I haven't time to quote it. You'll know the story. But listen, it's so familiar that this dear boy, this son may be preserved. True, he had to go into the Nile. And into the Nile he went. But that this growth may be maintained, this dear woman made sure that the Nile would not go into him. And I want to get that over to you today. If we are going to grow, if we're going to know spiritual development, if we're going to know something of what this little passage would produce in picture form, then, beloved, we're going to know something of what we sung about. Our brother asked me, had I a hymn? I said, no, I'll leave it to you. And I couldn't have done a better thing, because the very last word that we sung in that opening hymn is the word grow. And that hymn would just have been a most suitable hymn as it is for what is before me. When we think of the Nile in its strength, in its destructive power, under the agency of this devil, this despot, surely, beloved, as we sit in this meeting this afternoon, we have a picture of the world and the devil that are united in doing what? Bringing your growth as a son, as a child, to a terminus, to a blasting halt. And is that where we are today? Could it be, beloved, that there is some in the meeting, and you're submerged, and growth for God, and growth with God, has come to a tragic cessation? What a wonderful thing that this dear boy, this son, was preserved. Having been produced, now he's preserved. And love, beloved, I want to put my arm around this point. And I want to present it to you with all the pathos of my heart for you, especially those who are young in Christ today. I want you to be preserved. I want to see that growth for God that is certainly in you somewhere to some degree. And thank God for the manifest degree in many. I want to see it preserved. God wants to see it preserved. Surely men that order this conference have gathered us together with this purpose. With this in view, that something will be done. Something will be said. Ministry will be given. That will preserve in our life what is for God. Then it says, the child grew. Sonship prospered. Oh, beloved, I trust that this will introduce the theme for you. And you see the picture is a simple one. And I trust that God will use it because it has spoken to my heart. I ask myself, as I will throughout the ministry this afternoon, what is the extent of the influence of the world and of the devil in my life that would cause my spiritual growth to be halted. Halted. Remember, you cannot possibly be swamped by the world. You cannot possibly live in the world. You cannot possibly be of the world and know spiritual growth. We know that. Here are the enemies without you. Now, Genesis 21, please. Genesis 21. Verse 8, and the child grew. That symbol. And the child grew. Lovely story, isn't it? Tremendous background. Wouldn't have time this afternoon to speak, to go into the depth of this great chapter. But it's just similar to what we have looked at in this respect. You'll notice a son is born, verse 2 of the chapter. I'm going to call that for your benefit, if you allow me, the fact of sonship. That brings me just where we want to be this afternoon. Don't you know that you are a child of God in the family? Don't you know that God in His sovereign grace and purpose has conferred sonship upon you? That you know in this moment of time the liberty of children? And that you should be in the good as I ought to be in the good of the dignity of sonship? Oh, beloved, how precious these simple and true things are. The fact of sonship. Notice something that happens here that's very instructive. Verse 3, and Abraham called the name of a son that was born unto him whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac. Early in the life of this son, there came the pain of the night. Very early. It's a new thing, isn't it? Very early in God's dealings with men now, chapter 17 has introduced it. When Abraham, as he was then, rose at the command of God and inflicted circumcision upon himself and his household, and right down to his youngest from the oldest. And now as this son appears in all love and yet in conformity to the mind of God, Abraham inflicts the pain of the night. Perhaps, beloved, this is something we have missed. The implication of our association with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been circumcised by the circumcision of Christ, says the apostle. And you know what that circumcision of Christ is? I speak reverently, not what happened to him on the eighth day as according to the law, but what happened to him at Calvary. Calvary. And how important it is that early in our life and constantly in our living, we know something, beloved, of the judgment of the flesh at Calvary. The pain of the night. To be a feature of sonship. You'll notice, beloved, that the child grew, verse 8, and was weaned. Not lovely. And such was the joy of this, that Abraham called the feast. Nothing gives more delight, such to our God, and then to those that have any amount of spiritual interest in us, is to see growth and development. My mother, as you sit in this meeting, have you a greater joy that when that little one was born to watch it day and daily and to look for evident signs of growth? You remember the first day he or she did this, or did that, or did something else. Was there anything give you more pleasure? Nothing. Was it the very essence of your life? Certainly. And when this young man, this son, was weaned, it caused joy in the heart of Abraham. And this is the felicity of sonship. And he had a peace. Beloved, I don't think there's anything will give God greater joy than to see us being weaned away from the natural and to be dependent upon something that is vital to our spiritual growth. That's a great subject. Having time to deal with it in its ramifications through the Word of God, but yet get David into the line, won't you? And go to Psalm 131, my soul behaves itself as a child that is weaned of its mother. And go into David's early life and see the characteristics I want you to observe in relation to this point. The fact of sonship, the feature of sonship, the felicity of sonship, but listen, there develops a fear. As this feast was in progress, when the hearts of these people were thrilled and filled with joy, there was an element there that passed through hearts of this. And when Ishmael looked at Isaac, I don't know what begat him, I don't know what was in his heart, but you know where we are this afternoon. He mocked him. I haven't time to deal with the implications, you know them. I'm not contriving something that is fanciful. I'm in good company, aren't I? Because the Spirit of God uses this very passage in that mighty context of Galatians, suitable to the conditions in that assembly, where growth had come to an end through legalism. The apostle says, I'm in travail until Christ be formed in you. And as soon as he reaches that point, he brings in the story we're looking at just now. You know that from your own account of the Word of God. Beloved, whether we see it in another, but I want you to see it in yourself. And I want to see it in myself. Here is one of the greatest obstacles to growth. The flesh. The flesh. If I have suggested the devil in Pharaoh, and the world in the Nile, I want to bring the flesh in Ishmael. I have to say this, beloved, to such an audience this afternoon. There's an Ishmael in each one of us. Have you ever, listen to it, have you ever got down before God and decided you're going to do something for God? Let me read his word more. Let me pray the more. Let me share with greater intent. Let me just stand and you could go right through, couldn't you? The many things we resolve to do. And soon as that thought comes into our mind, there is the opposition. Well, I just wouldn't do it tonight. And I wouldn't just do it so quickly. And I wouldn't just do it. And you know what it is, that is scorning. The development of it. Oh, remember that thing. That's what I see here. The tragedy of it. But look what happened. You remember that this was judged. We haven't time to deal with it. But there it is. The element still abides. Now judge it, please. My friend with me at lunch kindly thought that maybe the lunch would make him sleep. So I thought, well, it might be the minute. So if you might have had a good lunch like me, so I just break in with ask you to read, and I think it helps. Judges 13, please. Judges 13, verse 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew.
Is that good?
I haven't given you any titles for these. You can pose your own, won't you? I'm quite sure in Exodus 2 it's the supremacy of sonship. God won the day. I'm quite sure in Genesis it's the scorning of sonship. But here to me is the strength of sonship. And although I'm going to describe the background, I want you to feel in your heart today that these are the conditions that are conducive to what is produced. Whenever we look at the background, we see that God is dealing with this couple. The discipline of divine dealings are upon their lives, and there could be, and I know there are, many in the meeting this afternoon, and you feel the discipline of divine dealings in your life. Tremendous things to be there. And as far as the dealings were concerned, in this occasion, it meant barrenness. And then there were divine communications. That's good. They're a heavenly visitor. They got a message from God. And that, of course, was in connection with the bearing of a son. But twice in those communications, the word beware is used. Barrenness and bearing, and then beware. Isn't that tremendous? You know, I'm trying to, if I use the word, you'll understand, I'm trying to analyze why it is these grew. Look at the circumstances. Look at the condition. I want to place myself within the circuit of this experience. That I may grow. Do I know? Am I sensitive to divine dealings in my life? Am I conscious of divine communication? Do I listen with my ear to my breath, to the Word of God, to my Bible, and listen to the advice, and listen to the warning, and listen to the beseeching of our God? They did. And then I want you to notice it produced worship. You remember that second time the heavenly visitor came? Manoah says, could you stay a while? Why? I want to put an offering before you. But he did, and he did. And you remember the flame of God lifted it up. Oh, beloved, I feel these are wonderful conditions here. Just so simple, and there they're on the surface for you to ponder. And then, it is out of this, we read the child grows. I haven't time to stay with it other than this. What was transmitted and what was transferred, God intended this to be the very mark, the very sign of growth. And I don't need to tell you that as far as this man was concerned, he played with it. He toyed with it. At times, it got soiled. The separateness. The separateness that was to mark it as one from God. The angel spoiled. You know, these are solemn things. I want to get, I trust, rather allow the Word of God to get into your very being. How are we handling these divine requirements? How are we bearing the mark of separateness for God, privately, publicly, corporately, individually. Do we stand? Do we expose them? You know the tragedy. Here is the story. Now, 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel and chapter 2. Verse 21, and the Lord visited Anna, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. The child grew. Tremendous, isn't it? I thought that with the time that was at my disposal, I should really have confined myself to this one, because this is really tremendous, isn't it? Oh, I think of the young here today. I want you to get into the exercise of my heart, if you allow me, as I look at this portion. As I've said, the background is indicative of what is produced. And we want to see this development. Well, here is a stage that I think we have to set in our lives. Verse 6 of chapter 1. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. I want you to get the agony of this woman. Agony. Look at verse number 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. I want you to get her anxiety. I'm going to ask you a question, beloved. To what degree of distress does your lack of development produce in your soul a sorrow, an agony, an anxiety? You know the concern would come into the mother's heart, the father's heart, if they are observing the little one and discover there's something wrong, there's no growth. You know what would happen. I needn't stress that unduly. Look at verse 14. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine, thy wine from thee. Here's agitation. Misunderstood. But thank God, the moment came when the action brought forth a son, verse 20. And we thank God for the child born. We thank God for this birth of a son. What has produced adoration? Chapter 2. Chapter 2. What a prayer. What a praise. What a thanksgiving. What an approach to the God that had answered and had brought about not only the birth, but the growth. But I want you to come to what I feel is very precious in the story, with which you're all familiar. Verse 19, I want you to see her appreciation. And it says, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. Here's the stages of growth. Is it lovely to see that this growth was measured? Lovely to see that this growth was marked? Isn't it, beloved? And I'm going to ask myself the question, and you'll have to ask yourself the question, with a year that has passed, can we, honestly, before God this afternoon, with all that we have heard, with all that we have experienced, can we measure our growth with satisfaction? Are we, in the language of this lovely passage, are we wearing a different coat inside? Quality to what we wore a year ago. Isn't that the answer? Isn't that the question? Isn't that the issue? Now look at this. Verse 21 at the end. And the child grew before the Lord. Verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Look at chapter 3, please, and verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground.
They haven't even time to stay with it. There's the three evidences of growth, the stages of growth,
reckoned by the Word of God, placed in this record.
I trust you will appreciate that.
Now look, Gospel, please, coming to the close of the moments together. Chapter 1, verse 80. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. And the child grew. Now this is the sixth time that expression occurs in your Bible. And the child grew and was strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. I'm going to call this the safeguard of growth. Notice what marked this young child. It says he waxed strong in spirit. There was increase in strength. Notice that he was in the deserts. There was an invaluable solitude. I think betimes that we estimate growth by the public appearance of a young man. I think, beloved, that possibly it should be the other way. I think that possibly the estimate of growth would be in the ability of that young man's, to be in the ability of that young man to remain in obscurity for some time. And I'm being as kind as I possibly can, because often the rush to the public will continue and then subside and go through. Invaluable solitude in the desert. You know the value of that? I think this is a safeguard to grow. The public, you seem all right. But listen, are we all right? Now finally, chapter 2, verse 4, the seventh day, and the child grew, and was strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's tremendous. What a point on this difference. To me, the sacredness of growth. That what we have been talking about was manifest in the perfect humanity of our blessed Lord Jesus. And the child grew. He grew in sensitivity. We had the passage before us this morning. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He grew up before him with all the receptivity of his spirit. In the same prophecy, only this time, chapter 50, morning by morning, he readeth my knees, given me the tongue of the Lamb. Oh, we thank God for the perfect example of our Lord Jesus. And that, of course, was marked by all that he was in the hand of God. And I go back to chapter 49 of that prophecy. There he is as a sword. There he is as a staff. There he is in the shadow of his God. And I go back again to that servant's song, Isaiah 42. He's God's delight. Oh, beloved. Touch our hearts. May the Lord touch our hearts. As I close, it was Paul's exercise that we grow, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and be fruitful in every good work, growing, increasing, as a result of the knowledge of God. In exposition, he gives us, but grow up in him, speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4, 15. And as I close, it was Peter's sincere expectancy. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. Then finally, this is closing exhortation. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Our blessed God, we thank Thee for this time we have spent together with Thy Word. We thank Thee for the possibilities of spiritual development and enrichment in spite of our weakness, in spite of the world, in spite of the wiles of the devil. O blessed God, overcome, we pray, in our lives and help us to develop that which features our Lord Jesus, brought into His likeness, growing as we ought, and that in the fear, in the knowledge, and in the grace of our God. Look upon this audience today, we pray. Bless the young in Christ particularly, not that we would exclude anyone in Thy presence just now, but Lord, our affections would be entwined around those that have much of life before them should the Lord remain away. We pray for them earnestly and lovingly and plead with Thee for Thy blessing in our Savior's name.